Won't heaven be wonderful? I brought the tissues. It's been such a blessing to be here with you all today. It's such a blessing to serve the Lord. Such a blessing to listen to those girls sing. I love your servant hearts. I love you all. Thank you. Oh, what a blessing. That hymn, that last hymn, I was going to ask if we could sing it, and I didn't see it in the hymnal, so I brought my own hymnal just in case we could sing it, but we've sung it. What a great hymn that is. The light of the world is Jesus. I'm so thankful. That wasn't my fault. Those gentlemen at the back, they don't know what to do with me. I'm really sorry. Oh, I'm going to behave. Oh, thank you. I do want to say thank you so very much. The warmth, the joyful hearts that I have felt in this room today have been such a blessing to me. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you, Faith Bible Church, for sponsoring and letting us be here in this big, beautiful room. Thank you, Pastor Madrid and Melissa and everyone associated with the church here. Thank you for Mr. and Mrs. Fry for this wonderful conference that we can come together and encourage one another. Thank you to all who served. That lunch was delicious. And yeah, I would clap for that too. That lunch was delicious and served by such wonderful gentlemen. We all appreciate them for doing that. Thank you, Wendy, and all your helpers for preparing it. Thank you, Hannah, for getting me registered. As Hannah Huber texted me and said, "You're not registered." I said, "Oh my goodness, how did I not do that? But thank you, Hannah, for keeping up with me and tying up loose ends. And I know I'm going to forget someone. Thank you for whoever made these beautiful decorations all over the church. On the way here, I said to my husband, "I'm so looking forward to seeing the decorations every year. Isn't it just beautiful? Every single year." Yes. Thank you for all the musicians, everyone who served. This harp reminded me of when my mother was in the hospital twice, a harpist came in. And that was one time when I saw my mom just truly relax and rest. And the harpist played, "It is well with my soul and how great thou art." And my mom, I knew she knew those truths. And what a blessing, music that is just used by the Lord. I'm so thankful for it. All the planning, oh my. These things don't just happen, do they? It takes a lot of planning. Oh, Mrs. Fry, she is a planner extraordinaire, and everyone that helps, and I'm so thankful. Thank you from the bottom of my heart, and I know you all feel the same way. All right, Psalm 27:1, the theme verse. I'm just going to set my hymnal here. I can't believe we're at the last session. Oh my, what a joy it's been to be in God's Word together, to be talking together and fellowshipping with one another, even around the lunch table was so enjoyable. Pardon me. Psalm 27:1, let's say it together. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Wow, what a What a wonderful verse. What a wonderful challenge for this church to have this verse up all year long and to be in that verse. You know, we're told right there in Psalm 27, verse 1, that the Lord is our light and our salvation. You can't separate the two. You can't separate light from salvation or salvation from light. When we are saved, we step out of that darkness of sin and into the light that the Lord brings into our lives. He brings that beacon of hope and shines it into our life. I'm going to just say a few more things about Michigan, and then we're going to get right into this. I mentioned in the first session that my family lived close to Lake Huron. We lived right next door to that lighthouse and the Coast Guard station. I told you that. What was it like to live by a lighthouse? I've been asked that a number of times. I can tell you when the Coast Guard was right down the street and the lighthouse was there, and we didn't have lower lights, but in harbors around Michigan where the passage is dangerous to get into the harbor, many of those harbors have lower lights so that the ship, the captain and the mariners can see along the lower part of the coast in front of that beacon, that beam of light. So, I felt safe. I knew that if anyone was in trouble on the Great Lakes, that the Coast Guard would be there and the lighthouse would shine the light the whole way. The beam of a lighthouse can go as far as 35 nautical miles. I don't really know how long a nautical mile is, but it sounds like a long way to me. So it can shine that far. And I've told you about the lighthouses that are, there's 120 all around Lake Michigan, Lake Ontario, well, all the Great Lakes around Michigan. And something that's unique about them is that every single lighthouse has its own signal signature. And by that I mean there are certain flashes that they're able to put out that identify which lighthouse the ship is traveling by. So none of them are the same. They all have a different pattern, kind of like Morse code, but only the captains and the mariners know what they mean. You know, if a fog were to roll in, or if inclement weather, or if a storm were to roll in, it would be hard to see the lighthouse even at times. And sometimes the wind can blow so hard that it just makes visibility very difficult. So they came up with this system of flashing lights, these signal signatures, so that when the ship was coming by that specific lighthouse, that captain knows, that's the Fort Gratiot Lighthouse. Oh, I'm only this many nautical miles from the next one. And they did that so that when they're coming down from Lake Superior and the weather would be bad, they could go all the way along the shore by seeing the signals from each one of those lighthouses. And they would stay, that would keep them out of the hazards that are on the sides. You know, the bottom of the lake is not linear. It's kind of like what we would look at above the water. It has hills and valleys and holes and rocks and all different kinds of things. And so our life is a lot like that. We don't live just like this, do we? No, that would be that smooth sailing we were talking about. No, we have hills, we have valleys, and we have extraordinary things to navigate. But those lights help lead the way, guide the way. That beam of light, that beacon of hope is what we're going to talk about. You know, we live in a dark world today, don't we? I have stopped watching the news. I'm serious about that. I look at the headlines for a little bit, and then I don't look at it anymore for today. I can internalize things like that too much, take them too much to heart. So I look at the headlines, and then I move on. But that, all you have to do is turn on the news to see the dark world that we live in. There's a reason why we are uncertain in darkness. It makes us uncomfortable to be in the dark without any light. And I love that Jesus said that he was the light of the world. There is no darkness in him. The beam of the lighthouse shines brightly in all directions. I think I told you, or if I didn't, I meant to in the first session, that from my bedroom window, I could see the very top of the lighthouse. And I would go to bed at night, and that was kind of like my nightlight. I would have that beam of light would come around my bedroom every 6 seconds. So I would go to sleep not counting sheep, but counting beams and seconds. And I never found it to be not 6 seconds. In fact, the foghorn is every 15 seconds, but they're longer. So I would count those too. Where I grew up in Michigan, and I'm sure it was the same way in Pennsylvania, but when I was young and we lived by the lake and there would be lake breezes at night, we didn't use air conditioning. I didn't even know anyone who had an air conditioner. And I think it was probably like that here a good while ago. But so we'd have the windows open at night, and I could hear the waves on the shore. That was another very soothing sound, a very familiar sound, a very comforting sound to me. It was like my lullaby. It was not hard to go to sleep when you live near Great Lake. That consistency is something that became very important to me. If the lighthouse had changed its direction, or it had changed its beam, or it had changed the number of seconds between the lights, that would have been disconcerting to me as a child, but it wasn't. It was consistent, and it never changed. Our captain never changes. His word never changes. That beam of light never changes. That consistency is a surety for us, something we can depend on, a place we can anchor. I love this anchor. I don't know whoever made it, just did a beautiful job. And I was reading in my research about these the end pieces and how they're designed specifically to drag the rocks. And so once that gets underneath a rock, fastened to the rock, it cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. I think of so many hymns that go along with the nautical theme, and it makes me understand how important this was to people who understood the sea, understood navigation, and how it applies to our lives. That beacon I mentioned shines brightly in all directions. No one is missed. Anyone on the lake that follows that light is going to see that light. Jesus declares in John 8:12, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." That light of life is the gift of salvation. We cannot separate, as I mentioned, the light and the life. Jesus is the source of the light. He's the source of the life. He came to provide life eternal for those who would put their trust in him. Maybe this thought is something new to you. Maybe this is perhaps the first time you've ever heard of the gift of salvation, or the thought that Jesus is the light of the world, that his beam casts brightly out over the whole world of darkness. in that verse, who is it that shall have the light of life? Well, he said, he that followeth me. Those mariners have to follow that beam of light in the darkness. They have lights on board, but not far enough to see as far as they need to see. Imagine if there were no lighthouses. Imagine if there were no lights along the shore. There'd be a lot more shipwrecks, wouldn't there? I can't imagine what that would be like. He that followeth me, that is the one that should have the light of life. You know, I mentioned the world is full of darkness. There's the darkness of sin that we are born into. We are told in Romans 3:23, if you'll look at that with me just for a moment. We're going to talk about salvation for a moment before we move on. Because you need the light of life. Romans 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When you come up short at the end of a month, when you still have bills and not enough cash to go for those bills, we sometimes say, oh, I'm a little short this month. Well, there's really not any such thing as a little short, is there? We're either short or we have enough, but you know, coming up short is just not making the mark, is it? And it's this verse tells me that all have sinned. I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let's go over just a few pages to Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We just read in Romans 3 that all have sinned. There are no exceptions. There is no one that has not sinned except our Lord. Now, that's pretty all-inclusive. And if we dwell on that for a minute, it's not a very comforting thought, is it? And then we read, the wages or the penalty for sin is death. And that is also a very stark reality. But the hope is, that beacon of hope, the gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because I'm a sinner, in my condition, I can't go to heaven. God has made that abundantly clear. I've come short of that goal. I can't meet that mark. But there is someone who can. We read this morning, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. He loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, if I'm not going to perish, if I'm not going to pay the penalty for that sin, someone is stepping in my place to pay that, and that was the Lord Jesus. We're about to celebrate Easter. We're about to talk about how the Lord went to the cross for us, how he shed his blood for our sins. It's enough to take your breath away. Christ offered, he went willingly to the cross to take our penalty for sin. And God was satisfied with the payment of Jesus' blood. He was satisfied that paid our penalty. What remains is, I just need to acknowledge that sin. I need to say, he paid that penalty for me, but I'm a sinner. I'm the sinner. And I can repent. Repent means to turn away or turn in the opposite direction. I'm going to go out of darkness, the darkness of sin, and I'm going to reach out and take that free gift, that gift of salvation, and enter into the light of life. I acknowledge my sin, I repent, I turn away, and I place my faith in Christ alone. He tells us there's nothing we can do that is sufficient. There's nothing in ourselves. If there was, we'd have something to boast about. We'd have the ability to say, I got myself here, but I didn't, and I can't. Only the gift of salvation, only the Lord Jesus can pay that penalty and make a way for us to have everlasting life. You know, when a ship is traveling on the sea in the dark, the sea represents a whole new set of challenges. But when the light is there, when that beacon is coming into view and the light is shining not only around but down and up on the lake above, the mariner takes hope, has that light. He has the light to lead the way. I love what a lighthouse represents. Psalm 62:1 says, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. In John 1:4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Could I just say, before we go on, if you don't know the captain, if you've never thought about the fact that I'm a sinner, I'm in need of a Savior, God made a way by sending his Son to pay that penalty for me. I can turn from my sin, I can repent and tell the Lord we're so sorry, and ask him, take that gift of salvation, ask him to be our Savior, put my faith and my trust 100% in him. If you don't know that captain of your salvation, you can't say, Jesus is my captain. I hope before you leave today that you'll speak to someone about that. I would be more than happy to talk with you about your need and make sure that today's the day you know the captain. Mrs. Fry would be glad to, and I know there are many others here that would love to talk to you about that, and I hope that during the next few minutes you'll think about that and give a lot of thought to it. Please don't leave today without knowing the captain of your salvation. All right, we're going to move on here now and talk about the lighthouse for just a few minutes. Ephesians 5 verse 8 says, now are ye light in the world. Once we've received the light of life, now we are light. And it says, now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. It's a night and day difference. When we're children of darkness, that's mentioned in God's word as well. Well, we know that the darkness is sin, and we are the children of sin under that enemy. But now we're in the light, and we are walking in the light, and we are like the Savior now. Now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. It'll show. Our son Will is the spitting image of my husband. People very often say this, and our grandson, who's not my son's son, but looks just like him. So he looks like Will, and Will looks just like his dad. And, you know, I live on a farm, and when we were doing the farming, sometimes I would look out, and they would be making hay or, you know, on the barn bridge or something. And if it was from a distance, I very often could not tell which one was Will and which one was my husband. They stand exactly the same. I'm not kidding. It's very interesting. And one of the ways that my husband will walk is with his hands behind his back like this, and my grandson does the very same thing. You know, people have always said Will is just like his dad. Wouldn't it be wonderful if others looked at us and saw that light that we've experienced, that we've received, and say, she's just like her father. She acts just like her father. Wouldn't it be wonderful if people said, her light shines just like his, that they recognize that in you. I love it. I love it when I see that in someone else. You can see it. You can know it. It shows. We can't hide it. It's hard to hide light. I'm glad for that. God's plan for us is to become more and more and more like his son, to be more and more and more light. The lighthouse is an example of strength. I would like you to think about the strength of our Lord with the lighthouse. Now, this lighthouse has some flat sides, but the lighthouse where I lived was a cylinder. That is among the strongest shapes in architecture or building, I should say. When I was teaching school, sometimes I would do a little experiment with my children where I would have a sheet of notebook paper and a book. And I'd say, do you think that if I put this book on top of this piece of paper, it would hold it? Oh, no, you know, they just are so dramatic. Oh, no. And then I'd roll it up and tape it and put it on my desk. It'll hold the book. You should try it at home if you haven't ever done this. You can see the force that is around that circle is supporting, and it's supported in and out, so it just gets stronger. The more weight that goes on it, the stronger it gets. I love that thought. Also, the curved shape, the curved sides, when the gale force winds come at that cylinder, instead of hitting a flat surface, they're directed around or up. And as the wind hits and goes upward along those sides, it dissipates. So the wind, the trial, the storm is making that cylinder stronger, and the wind is getting weaker. I love that thought. The Lord is my light and my salvation. He's my strength. I like to think about the storms of life coming, and he's walking with me. He's receiving that wind. The wind is no match for our Savior, is it? So that's a wonderful thought. It's designed to withstand extreme waves as well. So those waves crashing, the same thing. The forces are directed around the sides. You know, we sometimes feel the weight of the wind and the waves coming in our direction. The weight of a trial can get very heavy, can't it? But it's getting heavy because we're trying to hold it. And the Lord is saying, put that down. You were never designed to hold that weight. He's gonna hold that weight for you. Again, I go back to how many times I have had to come before the Lord and say, I'm so sorry, Lord, I'm trying to carry this by myself. I'm trying to backpack this thing, and I'm exhausted from it. And he just says, put it down. Cast your burden upon me. And do you think to yourself, why do I do this to myself? You know, why don't I just cast that burden right away? But we're human, and we think, and then sometimes our thinking gets us into trouble. We can see the character of Christ in a lighthouse. The beacon offers a bright light of hope and help and rescue in every direction. And the lighthouse itself supports others when trials come. It can often provide relief. In fact, Nahum chapter 1, verse 7 says, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him." The ones that are following. Proverbs 18:10. Would you look at that one with me? Proverbs 18:10. This is going to emphasize the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Anyone who's near a lighthouse and is in trouble knows that they can run to it and be safe. God, through his Son, is offering that same thing to us. We run to him and we are safe. He makes sure and certain of it. You know, the lighthouse also offers course correction. In the dark, we may not see the hazards, but in the light, when the lighthouse is shining its light, then the rocks and the difficult things that are underneath the water are visible, and we can avoid it. That light, as you read his word, is going to be constantly beaming hope and light and being shed abroad in our hearts. It's giving us life. You can't read God's word without being encouraged and lifted and feel that life is in this book. I just thank the Lord for that. The course correction that we might need could come in any form. Sometimes the Lord allows a difficulty to come our way to help us get to a course correction. I mentioned my daughter this morning, who's in a far country like the prodigal. And I'm going to tell you the truth, it really scared me when she had that accident. I felt the Lord was trying to get her attention. And sometimes he'll do that. Why? Because he doesn't like what we're doing? No. For God so loved the world. He loves us too much. When we belong to him, when we've given our life to him, and even sometimes those that haven't, he comes, he pursues. The Holy Spirit pursues us. And I'm thankful for the course corrections that have happened in my own life. I haven't had an accident. I've had other difficult situations that have turned my focus back on that beam of light. You know, when you put yourself in charge, you get your eyes in the wrong direction, don't you? Now I'm looking at myself instead of at the Lord. And I know that girl. She should not be in charge. Our pride takes over, and boy, that pride, that has an ugly head, and it rears that ugly head in our lives and can create some real need for course correction for us. But if we go off course, we can turn immediately. We can yield immediately, and we can get that correction underway. Psalm 62, verse 8 says, "Trust in the Lord at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." Who needs a refuge? A person who's in trouble needs a refuge, don't they? A person who's not safe, who's in a dangerous place, needs a refuge, needs a safe place, a place to dwell till the storm passes by. The storm will pass by. We want to be where the Lord has his hand of protection on us. And in that course correction, we can run to him and confess our sin. He says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No job is ever unfinished with the Lord. He'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In Psalm 31, verses 2 and 3, the psalmist, King David, said to the Lord, "Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me." What a powerful prayer. David said to the God of the universe, the creator of the world, "Bow down thine ear to me. Come close. Come close." When we're afraid, when we're upset, when we're in a trial, sometimes the only thing we can get out is a whisper. But God can bow down and hear our whisper for help. He says, "Deliver me speedily." He's saying, "Lord, I need help and I need it now. Be thou my strong rock." My anchor is gripping that strong rock. "Be in for a house of defense to save me." A house of defense could be that lighthouse, that strong pillar, that tower of strength could be my light. Could be my fortress. "Therefore, for thy name's sake," David knows how important the Lord's name is to him, to the Lord. Earlier, when I mentioned about how the sailor knows his job, one of the things that I didn't say, and I would like to say it here, is that the sailor knows that how he does his job reflects on the captain. The way we do our job, the way we serve the Lord, reflects on him and his name. And his name is above every name. He's made it clear through his word. Once I've done this, once I've gone to that help, that source of light, I can now have restoration and fellowship with Christ. Don't you love it when you've given that, spent that time with the Lord and confessed that sin that was hindering your fellowship, and you know now fellowship is restored? The Lord never tells us, "Give me a moment." The Lord never tells us, "I'll get back to you on that." We sometimes, as parents, have to tell our children, "Give me a moment," don't we? We sometimes say, "Mommy can't really talk about that right now." And the Lord is never not ready for our restoration and fellowship with him. The lighthouse is my guiding light to that safe harbor. Eternity and eternal life and life in heaven is more precious to me now that my mom has just recently gone to be with the Lord. It's always been precious to me. But I've thought so much about heaven since my mom went there. I've thought so much about heaven before she went. I would pray, as we would go into the hospital, I'd pray, "Lord, please take my mom to be with you. Take her to be with yourself. She's suffering, Lord." And the Lord had a different plan. He was letting us have time with her. But I was thinking, every morning when I came in, I'd think, "She's still here." I was so glad. I was so glad to see her. So that day that she went to be with the Lord, it was a very hard day, as it would be for anyone whose mom has passed away. But my comfort was, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And I knew my mom was precious to the Lord. And I knew that she was with him right that minute, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And heaven was so much more real to me in those moments. And you know what? Heaven was never not real. Heaven was always real, but I was so focused on it and so intent on it. Sometimes the distractions of this world can really get us distracted, for lack of a better word. About 3 years ago, my brother and sister and my mom and I went to our home. We went to the homes where we had lived in Michigan and made a little loop and went over to Lighthouse Beach. And I had not seen a freighter in probably 30 years. And they had moved a little far away from the lake, so when I went to visit, I would visit them there at their home. But I was never there when it was time to go see a freighter. So we were along that stretch that's narrow that I mentioned to you across from Canada, and we were sitting on the benches there, and I said to my brother, I really miss seeing freighters. I would love to see a freighter. And my brother said, well, you're about to. And I said, what? And he said, I can hear the propeller. And I looked to my right, and here comes the bow of that freighter. You know, I hadn't heard the sound of the propeller in so long, I didn't hear. But he was just as sure. He knew that freighter was coming. It's like that with the noise of this world, the enemy. He's going to whisper a lot of things, and he's going to distract you, and he's going to try to get you to not listen to the word. He's going to try to keep you out of the word. But if you keep your ear tuned to that sound of his still small voice, if you keep it tuned to his word, if you keep it tuned toward heaven and what's waiting for us, that will get louder and the noise of the world will get quieter. I've experienced that since my mom has gone to heaven, and I, as hard as it is, I'm thankful for it. God is teaching me, listen, listen, listen. Hebrews 13:5 says, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He will encourage us with his presence and his promises. He will strengthen us as we meditate on his word and let that light, walk in that light as he is in the light. He will fellowship with us to the very end, our captain of salvation. I brought that hymnal up here, and I'm just going to read the first verse very quickly. This verse talks about the light of the world is Jesus, but that first verse said, the whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. That's the good news. Like sunshine at noonday, his glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, 'tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. I pray that you'll know the captain, that you'll walk in his light, and that you will leave today with that encouragement and that surety in your heart.